When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The following is an exclusive presentation of News Radio KMAN, your home for K-State athletics. It's game time. This is The Game on News Radio KMAN.
There are less than 1,500 tickets available for the NCAA tournament in Manhattan, Kansas, which gets underway on Friday. That is the K-State women will be taking on 13-seed Portland. 3:30 from Bramlage is the tip-off for the round of 64. Pre-game coverage at 3 here on K-Man Plus. Also Friday will feature Colorado and Drake in a 5-12 matchup.
Why'd they drop the state, Portland?
No, different. Wrong school.
Yeah.
Oh, there's
they're different.
Two.
Yeah, Portland State is as mentioned, but basically used to be a junior college, and University of Portland is a Catholic school that plays in the West Coast Conference.
Either way.
Private school.
Maybe they should combine.
Do they hate each other?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Good. Portland should be split like that.
Yeah. They should be split up and have some hate.
What is Portland State's mascot?
Vikings.
So you have Pilots versus Vikings.
Natural enemies. Natural enemies.
From two completely different time periods.
Mm-hmm.
What was that old show on like Spike TV where they would put like Samurai Warriors versus Trojans, and then they like do simulations to see who would win a battle.
I remember that show.
It was just Deadliest Warrior.
Deadliest Warrior.
I could watch that show for hours.
Pilot versus Viking.
But what kind of pilot are we talking about?
It's true. It does change things. Because if they've got aviator goggles on, if we're talking like Wright Brothers
pilot.
Yeah,
exactly. Are we talking Wright Brothers or are we talking
the planes that kind of
World War II?
That guy's getting dead. Smoked.
They're not scared of anything.
No. Yeah, the planes with like 15 different wings on.
Are we talking 70s Pan Am pilot that was just celebrity crush if they just walked down the street in their uniforms?
Crush the Vikings. They just land on them, guys.
Land on them, put the aviators on, just ultimate power move.
Cruise.
Can't handle them.
Were the Vikings like the first to step foot on American soil?
They
right?
say that's true, that they got all the way over here, saw it, and was like, yep, yeah, all right. We're going back home.
We're going home. Hey, you know that big thing of ice over there? We're going to call it Greenland.
Yeah.
And that big thing of green grass over there? We're going to call it Iceland.
Just nobody said nothing, though.
If we're not in our boats, are we Vikings?
Exactly.
This is what we do. We surf bodies of water.
Are we not men? Oh, wait. Never mind. Sorry. That was the Devo song.
But it's Leif Erikson, right? He was the one that
yes.
like was supposedly stepped foot on American soil first.
What they say.
Something like that. Before Christopher Columbus.
Way before.
Or actually would have been after, right? But Columbus never actually set foot on, like, United States soil. Is that the story?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He just killed
West
a bunch
Indies.
Of people?
Yeah.
Yep.
Genocide is the popular word to use.
On the money, right there.
Welcome to the game. I couldn't think of a better start than that. Welcome to the game. Mitch Fortner, Troy Coverdale, David G., and Owen Burke. We got a very busy day. It's a very fun day. We're out at 5:30. We're going to start bringing you pregame coverage at 5:30 of the first four. It's day two, and it'll feature game one between Grambling and Montana State for a 16 seed in the Midwest. The winner will play Purdue. And then you have Colorado Boise State tonight. I think that could be a pretty good game. I'm going Boise State, but it could be good. A
couple of good friends that are matched up in the coaching matchup. Tad Boyle and Leon Rice have known each other for years. Ooh. And are good friends going way back. So they're not all that happy about having to coach against each other tonight.
Well, and Boise State is probably pretty unhappy of just even going to Dayton. Because they probably...
Oh, I yeah. Mean,
the whole Mountain West was underseeded.
Well, there was actually footage I know that was shared, and I think Brandon shared it in our group chat, but one of the reporters out there had the footage, and there was just, it was almost a stunned silence in their reaction when they found out that that was what they were going to be saddled with.
Ugh. Hey, Lindsay's class today has filled out a bracket like they had a class bracket, and you want to hear their Final Four?
Yeah.
Bring it.
Let's see here. It is Iowa State, Houston, mm-hmm. Baylor, and KU.
How about it?
Hey, it's an all Big 12 Final Four.
It could happen. I mean, it won't.
But what's crazy is the team that has is the least likely to make the Final Four of all of them is KU.
No doubt. Yeah,
how about Bill Self's sales job, ladies and gentlemen? Sold himself a seed, and Kevin McCullough sits out now.
Kevin McCullough is now out, yeah. That changes things, if you ask me.
Speaking of, they're going to be fine. They're going to be fine for the tournament. They're going to be back and healthy.
I have plenty of buddies that are terrified because McCullough is out now. So,
literally.
Doesn't bother me.
Literally. spends last week before the Big 12 tournament. They're going to be back. That's no problem. Talks up his team. Gets the seed. And then breaks it to everybody.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah. Nice job. Way to go, committee.
Oh, well.
Honestly, even if they did have Kevin McCullough, out of all those games, like from three seeds to like eights, when it comes to a favorite seed or a seed that would be favored, I think KU got the toughest draw with Samford. Samford is ruthless.
Yeah, they're not bad.
I watched a little bit of some of their highlights earlier today. I was like, dang, this is a really fun team to watch.
Yeah, they're going to spank them. I mean, even with, like you said, even at full strength, that would have been a tough game.
Well, I don't think Samford has a matchup for Hunter Dickinson if he does play. I know he's chalked up to play, I guess. I don't know, but I don't know how healthy he is. So, because didn't play in that one game in the NCAA tournament, Cincinnati took care of business without KU, without having Kevin McCullough and Hunter Dickinson. Meanwhile, yesterday, by the way, we got a busy show. Let me get you the rundown here real quick. So, 5:10, we'll go through our March Madness predictions. Non-sports fan Nicole from here at the radio station will fill out a bracket. She's going to give us her predictions. She'll compete against us. So there's one non-sports fan against the sports fans. And we'll just see how she does. We will have two chances today. Two. To win NCAA tournament tickets for the K-State women, which it'll be tickets for Friday session. So it's for both games. One ticket gets you into both games.
Let's go.
Two chances to win those tickets. One chance at 4:40. Another chance is coming up at 5:20. In our next segment, we'll blindly rank five with David G. And I'll just tell you what it is right now. March Madness moments. There's so many of them. You might not know what's coming next. So that's coming up at 4:25. And by the way, the Booth Creek Wagyu Bracket Challenge is still on, guys. Mm-hmm. And here's the deal. I've been really nice about this already this week, but here's the deal. I have officially submitted my bracket for the Booth Creek Wagyu Bracket Challenge, which you can enter right now at newsradiokman.com. And let me make this clear as well. This is a local competition, guys. This isn't across the nation, thousands upon thousands of people from California to North Carolina filling out these brackets. No, it's us here in our community, in our market, that's competing against one another for all these great prizes, including first place winning $750. But nobody's beating me. I have found the perfect Final Four. As I said, I'm working backwards. I know the Final Four this year. Mm. I think it's clear as day.
Hmm. I'm going to just make this very clear. Enter into this just so that you get the bragging rights to go to some place like Bottle Caps and just taunt all of the guys down there.
Yeah. I have a question for you. Did you dial up any Mitch Palm stuff for your bracket challenge? I feel like that might be considered cheating. That's how I feel about it.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, you guys forget I have the Mitch Palm software to just calculate every game.
Feels like an unfair
even
match.
Though Mitch Palm did lose out. 10 games this year.
Yeah, kind of bombed out.
Did lose 10 K-State games this year. That is a record. I only had 4 losses last year. Mitch Palm took a little bit of a dip this year. But, hey, that's when we get back in the lab and, again, work with the potions, mix some things up a little bit. Maybe buy new glassware. It's getting a little old.
Yeah.
The beakers are looking a little
That was the 10-game losers right there.
But go get signed up and fill out your bracket in newsradiokman.com. You have to get them in by 11 a.m. tomorrow. Meanwhile, the K-State men in their season yesterday, did you guys watch? It was an 8 o'clock tip against Iowa. I wasn't too emotionally invested in this one because it was the NIT. That was not the expectation. The expectations were greater than that. And it's not like I was rooting for them to lose or anything. It just felt like the season was over before the game even tipped off, not because they would lose that game, just because they're in the NIT. And my only real thought about that is because I'm ready to move on to the offseason. The transfer portal is open. It's time to get to work. This is a very important offseason for this coaching staff. Of course, things depend on who stays, who leaves, who decides to play an extra year like a David Gasson. But last night was par for the course in a road game for K-State. They dig themselves into a hole, and then they just can't get out of it all the way. Like, they got the fingernails and the fingertips on the ledge, but they just can't pull themselves back up out of it, and they stay in the hole, and they can't complete a comeback.
What is it? Yes, I did watch it. I watched it with my arms crossed, kind of like side-eye the whole time. I don't know what it is about that team in particular that was just perfect for anybody struggling from behind the three, or just if you were great at three, like you were just going to have a great day.
Oh, my God.
11 for 38, I think. Was
Sanford for Iowa was unconscious in the first half.
Same old, man. People just going off from three, and it's just old.
He was 7 for 11.
We did not defend the three worth of this season.
No.
At all.
No.
I mean, let's just call it what it is. We didn't defend the three well all season, and right there was how teams beat it.
Mm-hmm.
And statistically, K-State was supposed to be the way better defense. Right. And I don't know if Iowa was just wanted it more, or they were at home, or I don't know. We're past that point where we're trying to figure out the team. The season's over.
Yeah.
Tang in his post game, you know, even stated as much that, you know, it was right there in the scouting report. He was their version of Caitlin Clark. In the scouting report, it said it.
Right. And then they let him go. Just let him go.
Yeah.
Off.
And he still winds up lighting them up.
By the way, did you guys know Caitlin Clark plays for Iowa? I don't know if you could tell by watching the broadcast last night. She plays for Iowa.
I didn't know that.
She was at the game.
I heard it was a lot of need for the radio broadcast last night.
I did think it was pretty cool that they, on the court where she hit the shot to be the all-time leading scorer in women's basketball history, they put like a little Clark 22 on there. It'll forever be on there. Yeah. That's neat, I guess. History. You know, I appreciate history. But
Yeah. Whatever.
Right.
I do take some encouraging things, though, into the offseason. I think at the top of my leaderboard for encouragement on what I saw late in the year is Day-Day Ames. Mm-hmm. I thought Day-Day closed out the year very well, improved, a more confident shooter, making shots. I mean, early on, unfortunately, that kid couldn't hit shots. It was a bit rough for him. He got more of a role when the lineup changed a little bit. Day-Day became a starter. He could be the point guard. And, you know, his direction of the offense wasn't bad. Just his overall ability to score was improved. And I love that. You know, David Gasson in the second half of Big 12 play, his free throw shooting is atrocious, and that needs to get better if he does stick around with K-State. But I have enjoyed his play in the second half of Big 12 play. I thought he was really good. Unfortunately, Tyler Perry, I think everybody's opinion on Tyler Perry, him wrapping up this year and his collegiate career, I think everybody will just kind of have their own opinion about Tyler. There'll be some good in there, some not so good. I'll probably have more good, in my opinion, of him on how he'll be remembered at K-State for his 1 year. But at the same time, his shooting the three did not meet expectations. Did not, unfortunately, get the Tyler Perry that was advertised, other than a handful of games throughout the season. He had some good runs where there was once in a while a stretch of two or three games where it's like, that's the Tyler Perry we were expecting. A little bit of consistency. It just wasn't as consistent as we thought.
Yeah, I think that you're in a unique spot. You sit and you watch the game and from a floor level, and you get a chance to see every single possession. You get to see the team go from that game one to the final, where you get to see a lot of things that other people don't. I'm not going to look back fondly when it comes to Tyler Perry. I wish him well, and I know that he's very good at basketball, but I was wholly unimpressed. I mean, he averaged a lot of points a game, but I really – fare thee well, Tyler. Have a great career, man, somewhere, you know, wherever it may be, just not my cup of tea.
For the guy who led North Texas to an NIT title last year, effectively a no-show last night.
It's crazy. It just, like you said, consistency is an issue. And I'm talking, I mean, consistency in every game. It wasn't like game to game. It was within the game. It was so hot and cold and just, yeah. I think, you know, we haven't really touched on it much since, obviously, because we talked about the Naquan Tomlin thing to death for 2 weeks, it seemed like. But if you look at that big, especially the Big 12 schedule, if you look at it, I think there's five or six games where I would say he would have made a huge difference and would have won us a couple easy.
100%.
You know, and it's just how different do they look? I mean, Arthur Kaluma, some of the things that he can do. Can you imagine if he was like a more of a complimentary piece to a guy like Naquan Tomlin? Like, how do you defend those two guys on the court at the same time? That's impossible. And then Tyler Perry, if he gets a chance to play off the ball, how does that look for this team? Really a lot of what ifs, and it would have been really special to watch the team as a whole get to go out there and battle. If we got to redo this whole thing, I bet they're pretty good. I bet they're doing pretty good.
The history of this team, the way they'll go down in the record book, is a team that just never got to where it was supposed to be.
Right.
From almost day one of practice, mm-hmm. from their overseas trip to last night. Mm-hmm. They never got to where they expected to be when the roster was put together. Right. Naquan did not go on the overseas trip. Never... He showed up for four games on the bench and then is all of a sudden dismissed from the team, and everybody's upset with President Richard Linton, which is, again, we talked about that for 2 weeks. I'd love to stay away from that.
Sure.
I feel like we've moved past that. I feel like we've gotten to the point where we've just accepted what took place. Absolutely. There's nothing we can really do about it, and it's time to move on. But for sure, I think that will be a piece of the story that will always be remembered, at least for the near future, will be remembered until K-State gets really good at basketball again and they start winning. And that's how you quickly forget about those rough seasons if you can just bookend that season with, before that, of course, an Elite Eight run. And then if you can quickly just recover and make another big NCAA tournament run again, then we're obviously going to be feeling a lot better. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we've seen one great year. We've seen one not so great year from Jerome Tang. Now what is year three have in store? And it's about getting to work right away and recruiting.
I really think that a big lesson for this staff was last offseason. Let's be perfectly honest about it. I think that they learned how important it is to not have everything in your expectation recruiting-wise or player-wise line up where it's just one or two pieces. Make sure that you've got that lineup of what you're looking for in a much better state than to just be maybe focused on a handful. And be ready for making choices rather than them making choices for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
NCAA tournament coverage here on K-Man, presented by Booth Creek Wagyu, begins tonight with the second day of the first four. Grambling State and Montana State's the first game, Colorado and Boise State the second game, and coverage begins at 5:30. We'll take our break, and when we come back, Blindly Ranked 5 with David Gene. By the way, he's still two chances in today's show to win tickets to Session 1. That's the first round of the NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament in Manhattan. Your first chance at 4:40. We take a break. Blindly Ranked 5 is
easy
coming up
for
next.
You to say.
Yeah. Game continues. We're out of 5:30. We got pregame coverage of the first four. We got a 16 seed up for grabs in game one, Grambling and Montana State, and then a 10 seed after that, Colorado and Boise State, which I think will be a good game. Colorado the favorite, by the way, by 3.5 points.
A little surprising that it's by that much.
I would take Boise.
You know, that 16 seed, remember when it used to just be an absolute death sentence? You were like, there was no way you can win. And now, man, it's just different.
Well, I'll tell you what, coming up in our March Madness predictions at 5:10, I'm going to ask everybody, if you had to pick a 16 over a 1, which game would you pick?
And
mine's easy.
I got mine.
Mine is easy.
Can we, by the way, just out of curiosity, next year ensure that Virginia is put in the tournament as a 16? That's the only place that they go if they qualify?
If they score 16 points total, then they can be a 16. What is the deal with
15 them? Minutes of game time without a point last night.
I don't get that, man. What?
Unbelievable.
Do they just not talk about offense? You know what I mean? Like, what is this?
It's not his game, man.
It was literally like an hour of real time. Like, with halftime coverage and everything, it was an hour between them.
Because it bridged halftime.
That was insane.
Oh, my God. It was awful.
Ugh.
I saw that note, and I'm like, what?
Break.
The NCAA tournament on K-Man is presented by Booth Creek Wagyu, which, by the way, I went over to Booth Creek Wagyu earlier today and took a tour. That place is impressive.
Nice.
The operation is impressive. The inventory is impressive. And, by the way, the Wagyu steak, had some for the first time today. Amazing.
Ooh.
It definitely lives up to the hype.
One, two, three.
No
invite.
I mean,
just none to share?
No invite.
Well, Troy, you had a nap. David G was busy. Owen has stuff to do.
I do have lunchtime in there, too. I mean,
well, here's the great thing about Booth Creek Wagyu.
They'll
cook you up some samples.
I know that.
And that's what I had, a little bit of a ribeye, and it was delicious. So I bought myself a ribeye steak.
Good call.
And also flank steak. We're going to make the flank steak today. I was blown away by how good it was. Mm-hmm. Totally worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Booth Creek Wagyu is presenting the bracket challenge at newsradiokman.com. Fill out your bracket for the NCAA tournament, and you could just be winning $750 in cash. How about a big screen TV? How about a $250 gift card to Booth Creek Wagyu? That could buy you a whole bunch of ribeyes to put on the grill while you watch some basketball or maybe some baseball this summer.
Had baseball this morning.
Yeah, opening day technically, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the unofficial opening day, yes. Yeah.
With the round of 64 kicking off tomorrow, let's play some blindly ranked five. I'm struggling with the word blindly today. So blindly ranked five, how we play is I'm going to give David G the theme, which is March Madness moments, and I'm going to give him moments one at a time, and he's got to rank them one at a time, which he doesn't know what's coming next. I think this could be a really fun one. Deej, are you ready to go?
Ready.
Here is your first March Madness moment.
Northern Iowa's going to have to shoot it before the shot clock runs out.
Oh my. Farouk Benesh, a three.
Serious with that shot.
I think we can all picture this play. I wanted a heavy hitter to begin. Ollie Farouk Manesh with a three-pointer to beat KU, and that three-pointer was 34 seconds left.
I still think that he broke the internet a few years ago when he did the remake with his kids and his wife, because he's on the Colorado State staff.
Well, and what's funny is he the next year in the NCAA tournament, KU was playing in Omaha, and he wasn't playing anymore. And so he took a camera and a microphone and just went up to KU fans and asked them about that shot. And they didn't know they were talking to Ali Farouk-Manesh.
Man, I was there. My friends and I traveled to Oklahoma City.
Because the Cats played BYU that day.
Right after that game. So we're in the concourse. Like, they wouldn't let us in, but we were in the concourse and we're watching on TV. And we're like, there's no way this is going to happen, right? He hits that shot. 34 seconds later, the doors burst open, and it's just an outpouring of KU fans. And so there's three of us K-State fans standing there. And I'm like, don't say anything. Don't jinx the Cats. So we're standing there like, just like wide-eyed, and people are like, boo K-State, go BYU. They were cursing at us. They were so sad and so dejected, and it's the best moment of my life. I'm sorry.
I'm going to let you dig yourself out of the fourth hole.
The fourth best.
Quick.
Maybe fifth.
It was one of the greatest moments of my entire life, besides the wedding and the birth of my children. I'll never forget it. It was great. I'm going number two, Ali Farouk-Manesh, you're my friend for life.
Number two moment in NCAA tournament history as we blindly rank five.
Incredible performance. Shock and awe in college basketball. UMBC makes history in Charlotte.
Speaking of Virginia, this was right after K-State won its first round game against Marcus Foster and Creighton in Charlotte, North Carolina. With UMBC, the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, the first 16 seed to beat a one as they knocked off Virginia by 20.
Yeah. Number one. Easy.
Really?
Yeah, that is. Because the whole time, I'm like, you're looking at the bracket and you're like, kind of play Virginia? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And then that happens and you're like, I remember thinking, like, we're in the Final Four. That's it. Final Four. Here we come, baby. Made a nice run, but still came up short. But, yeah, that's number one.
Remember the UMBC game 2 days later, and who was it? Xavier Sneed had a great putback dunk. And
yes.
Low-scoring game, but they got it done. First ever team to play a 16 seed in the second round. All right, so you have Ali Farouk-Manesh against KU at number two, UMBC a 16 seed beating a one at number one. So you have 3, 4, and 5 left. Here's your third March Madness moment.
He's done with the Cats! And that's it! What a comeback! UCLA defeats Gonzaga 73-71 after being down by 17.
Huge comeback for UCLA, but what's really notable about that loss for Gonzaga in 2006 was Adam Morrison bawling like a baby on the floor, rolling around. I mean, he was crying before the game was over.
He really was. That poor guy, him and his mustache.
Yeah.
You know, it just stunk how bad he was in the pros. I can't believe, like, man, he was bad. I'm going to put that at number four.
All right, Adam Morrison crying at number four. Ali Farouk-Manesh against KU at two. UMBC is 16 beating a one at number one. Here is March Madness moment, number four.
There's the pass to Leitner. Puts it up. Yeah!
I mean, you could just hear in the background, it is absolute pandemonium. Absolute pandemonium. And K-State, in its history of athletics, has only had really a handful of moments where it's just been total pandemonium from like a buzzer beater or a win. But that's, of course, from 92. That's called The Shot, one of the greatest games of all time with Duke beating Kentucky. 103-102 in overtime, Christian Laettner with The Shot.
Those games were my real introduction to the NCAA tournament. I was a second grader. And I remember
I
was one.
He was like, that guy was unstoppable, man. But that's number three for sure, a solid three.
All right, so that means you only have number five open. And here is number five.
K-State with it. There's the lob for Key.
goodness, a stop over his head. Keontae Johnson with 22. K-State leads 94-92 with 52 seconds to play.
He caught the ball from the right side in and spun in the air.
I can only think of three moments in K-State basketball history where my jaw just dropped. The Cartier jotted dunk against KU on the breakaway. Dean Wade's reverse dunk on senior day that same year against Oklahoma, and he said something white boy after the dunk. I'm pretty sure if I could read the lips right. And then that moment, watching that live in the Garden,
that is special. If I could do it over again, I might switch UCLA Gonzaga, but I feel like I'm still happy with my list. That's a solid five. That is solid.
And that is blindly ranked five March Madness moments with David G. When we come back, guys, it's your first opportunity to win a pair of tickets to Friday, session one. You'll get two games, but the first game is the K-State women's basketball team, a four seed, as they host the first and second rounds as they take on Portland. If you want to play, call us right now. 785-537-1350. Owen will take your call during the break. We'll play after the break. Again, the phone number is 785-537-1350. Your chance to win NCAA tournament tickets is coming up next. We're back on the game. News Radio KMAN. Time to give away some K-State NCAA tournament basketball tickets. As the K-State women are hosting, that begins Friday at 3:30 with the Cats taking on Portland. And then the second game is Colorado and Drake. The winners of those two games will play each other on Sunday with a time to be determined. We are now joined by Keith from Manhattan. Keith, are you ready to play some trivia to win the tickets?
Yeah, Master. Let's do it.
All right. Well, here we go. Here's how it works. If you've never heard the game before, here's how it goes down. I have three questions. You only have to get two right, Keith. And they're 50-50 questions. I'll give you the 50-50 option. You just got to pick one of the two answers. And if you correct on two of the three questions, you are a winner. Ready to play?
Yep. Yes, do it.
All right. Here comes your first question. Does K-State or Portland have a player that has been named an All-American three times this season? K-State or Portland?
Let's go K-State.
See, David G thinks so. Owen is clapping. He's pretty sure about that.
Feeling confident in Keith here.
Yeah.
Is it K-State? Yes, it is. Aoka Lee today was named an honorable mention All-American by the Associated Press. She's also been named a third-team All-American by, second-team by The Athletic, and third-team by The Sporting News. There we go. All right, Keith, so you are one for one. You only have to get one more right, and you are going to the NCAA tournament. Keith, have you ever been to the NCAA tournament?
No, I have not.
Well, I'm here to make your dreams come true.
Let's go, Keith!
All right, here comes your second question. So the other two teams, as I mentioned, that are coming in for the tournament is Colorado and Drake, and they'll play each other on Friday at 7 o'clock. Who had to travel further to get to Manhattan? Colorado or Drake?
I'm going to go Colorado.
What do you guys think? You guys, that's all a looks on your question. On your yeah, faces. Like, I'm not sure. Question.
I think it's Colorado too. I would just guess, but because I think I have a vague idea of where Drake is on the map. But yeah, I'm going to say Colorado.
All right, Keith says Colorado. Let's find out for the tickets. Is it Colorado? Yes, yeah! It is. Colorado, 512 miles. That's Boulder, Colorado, obviously. Drake in Des Moines, Iowa,
yeah,
is 311 miles. So it's not quite double, but it's like 4.5 hours up to Des Moines. Uh-huh. And to Boulder, it's a little over seven.
Nice.
On
Keith,
a drive.
So, you did it.
Keith, you are going to the NCAA tournament. You'll get two tickets for Friday's game. So it's a ticket that can get you into both games. Keith, how do you feel about winning today?
Awesome, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Have you watched the K-State women in person this year?
You bet. Every game I can.
Awesome. You are the perfect guy to win the tickets. Congratulations. Keith, stay on the line. Owen's about to pick up. He's going to take down your information, and then you'll be good to go. Sound good?
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you, Keith.
Keith, dude.
All right. Congratulations to Keith.
He knows his Rand McNally. Dude. Yeah. That's good.
Knows his geography.
He does.
I did have one more question. I'll let Owen take care of business right now, but I did have one more question, guys.
Uh-oh.
You guys want to play this one for fun?
Sure.
All right. So the last question was, and again, we're going to have more tickets to give away at 5:20, but we won't have enough time to do trivia.
Yeah.
So that'll just go to a lucky caller. The other question was, who is K-State's all-time leader in assists in the NCAA tournament? Troy, ooh. I'll ask Troy this question. Megan Mahoney or Carmen Garcia?
Carmen Garcia.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good zapperoni, man.
You got to remember here, I have that nice, 20-year stretch here where it was a side watch.
Well, you remember Carmen Garcia, though, right? Mm-hmm. She played when? I'm trying to think.
Okay, so she was like a early 90s guy, almost in the mid-90s.
So did you watch her play, Troy? I
believe probably so.
Okay, yeah. Well, Megan Mahoney with 31 assists all time. Carmen Garcia is David G's mom.
Well done.
She did not play at K-State.
Okay,
she
fine.
She went to Knox Berry High.
I completely missed on the joke. Yes. Well done. Oh,
all right, we got to take our last break of the hour. When we come back, lovely saleswoman here at Manhattan Broadcasting, Nicole, is not a watcher of sports. Yet she was all in on filling in a bracket to predict the NCAA tournament. You'll hear her results when we come back, as you're listening to The Game on KMAN.
Here we are, staring down another edition of The Game, brought to you by...
Brought to you by?
Sorry about that.
Bye!
Had to take care of some business.
Yeah.
Hey, dude.
Hey, so I recorded this earlier today, and here's this cool audio. It's that time of the year where we find a non-sports fan in the radio station, and we have them predict the NCAA tournament because there is plenty of proof out there. A non-sports fan can win any pool for the NCAA tournament. We'll see if this happens this year with salesperson Nicole.
Nicole. Hello. Thank you for having me, Mitch. This is going to be so much fun because I know zip about not just basketball, but we'll just say sports in general.
Let's get started with the overall number one seed, UConn, the defending champs, against Stetson.
UConn.
Florida Atlantic against Northwestern.
Florida Atlantic, please.
San Diego State, who was in the Final Four. UAB is their opponent. That's University of Alabama, Birmingham.
I'm glad you said that because I was going to ask who UAB was, but let's just go San Diego.
4-13 matchup is Auburn versus Yale.
Oh, definitely Auburn.
BYU versus an 11 seed, pronounced Duquesne.
Oh, BYU, because I have heard of them, and I have seen probably them win.
Illinois against Morehead State.
Illinois.
The Cougars of Washington against the Bulldogs of Drake, 7-10 matchup.
Oh, Cougars all the time.
The final matchup in the East in the first round, Iowa State. Their head coach, T.J. Otzelberger, taking on his former team in South Dakota State.
Let's go with South Dakota, because it's a beautiful state.
To the West region, North Carolina, the Tar Heels playing the winner of Howard and Wagner.
North Carolina, they have the prettiest blue.
Mississippi State, Michigan State.
Oh, for sure, Michigan.
Couple of religious schools here. St. Mary's against Grand Canyon.
Let's go with St. Mary's.
Alabama and Charleston.
Ooh, Charleston.
There's a 4-13 upset.
Did I pick one?
You
yeah.
Did. Clemson against New Mexico in a 6-11.
Clemson.
Baylor versus Colgate.
Baylor. Only because I do know they are good.
7-10 matchup in the West. Dayton against Nevada.
Let's go Dayton.
Final game in the West. The Arizona Wildcats against Long Beach State.
Let's go Arizona because I don't know where Long Beach State is.
South Region 116, the Houston Cougars against Longwood.
Cougars.
Nebraska versus Texas A&M, 8-9 matchup.
Ooh, let's go with Texas. They're pretty good, I think.
Wisconsin against James Madison.
Oh, James Madison. That sounds fancy. Let's go with him.
Duke versus Vermont.
We'll go with Vermont on that one.
Another Big 12 team in there. Texas Tech will face off against NC State.
Ooh, how about Texas Tech?
Kentucky Wildcats versus Oakland. That is Oakland out of Michigan.
I still like the Wildcats. That's, fun.
7-10 matchup, Florida against the winner of Boise State in Colorado.
Let's go with Boise State.
Final game in the South, Marquette against Western Kentucky.
Marquette?
All right, to the Midwest. First game, Purdue against the winner of Montana State and Grambling.
Purdue.
8-9 matchup, Utah State, TCU.
Let's go Texas Christian.
Gonzaga versus McNeese.
Going Gonzaga, that's the coolest name.
The Kansas Jayhawks against Samford.
See, I'm glad you said Jayhawks, because I wasn't sure if it was Kansas University or Kansas State. But let's still go Kansas.
South Carolina against Oregon.
South Carolina.
Creighton taking on Akron.
Akron sounds fun.
The Texas Longhorns against the winner of Virginia and Colorado State.
Texas Longhorns.
Final game of the first round, Tennessee against St. Peter's.
Oh, let's pick St. Peter's for fun.
All right, we're now in the second round. UConn taking on Florida Atlantic.
I'm still going to stick with UConn.
San Diego State taking on Auburn.
Auburn.
We have a 6-3. BYU taking on Illinois.
I'm going BYU.
Last out of the East is Washington State against South Dakota State.
How about South Dakota State?
All right, a 15 seed to the Sweet 16. Second round out of the West, North Carolina versus Michigan State.
I'm going to go with North Carolina for sure.
St. Mary's taking on Charleston.
Sticking with Charleston.
Clemson against the Baylor Bears.
I'm going to go ahead and go Baylor again.
And finally in the West, round of 32, Dayton against Arizona.
Dayton.
South Region, second round. Houston against Texas A&M. Those two schools are pretty close to each other.
They are. I don't know. I just hope they all have fun. How about Texas A&M?
All right, we have a one seed out of the tournament. James Madison versus Vermont. You have that as a 12 versus a 13.
I don't know what that means, but I just like Vermont. Let's go with Vermont.
Texas Tech taking on Kentucky.
Texas Tech.
Boise State taking on Marquette.
Oh, going with Marquette. Fun name.
Midwest Region, second round. Purdue versus TCU.
Purdue.
Gonzaga Bulldogs, KU Jayhawks.
Gonzaga.
South Carolina will face Akron.
I'm going to go ahead and go with Akron on this one.
And finally, Texas against St. Peter's.
How about St. Peter's?
Sweet 16, let's go back to the top into the East. UConn and Auburn.
Ooh, how about Auburn? Let's go Auburn.
Last game of the East, BYU, San Diego State.
BYU.
To the West, North Carolina against Charleston.
Oh, the Carolinas are my favorite. How about, let's just go North Carolina.
And also in the West, Baylor against Dayton.
Baylor.
To the South, Sweet 16 action. Texas A&M against Vermont.
I want to say Vermont.
Texas Tech against Marquette.
Marquette.
Sweet 16 in the Midwest, Purdue against Gonzaga.
Gonzaga.
And finally, Akron versus St. Peter's.
St. Peter's.
15 to the Elite Eight. All right, back to the top. We go to the Elite Eight. Just a few more picks to go. For the East Championship, Auburn versus BYU.
BYU.
Who will be the champions in the West, North Carolina or Baylor?
Baylor.
Who will be the champions out of the South, Vermont or Marquette?
Sticking with Vermont.
And finally, the Elite Eight in the Midwest, Gonzaga versus St. Peter's.
Have to go with Gonzaga. I like that name.
All right, who's going to play for the national championship? First, the winner between BYU and Baylor. You have Mormons versus Baptists.
Ooh, let's go with the Baptist. Which one is that?
That'll be Baylor. And then Vermont against Gonzaga.
Going with Gonzaga again.
And finally, who will be your national champion? Will it be Baylor or Gonzaga?
Probably Baylor, I'm going to guess.
You'll be rooting for the team Jerome Tang will be rooting for the most.
Oh, good. We have something in common.
After spending 18 years at Baylor. Nicole, nice work.
Mitch, thank you.
You're now up against the other sports guys here on the show. How well do you think you'll do?
You know, I've picked teams before by strictly helmet color, and I won that, and I made so many people mad, so I'm feeling pretty good about this.
We'll find out in a few weeks. Nicole, thank you for your time.
Thank you. That was fun.
Is this an Owen bed?
That it is, my friend. That it is.
You know, you had promised me some wrestling
themes,
and I haven't heard one yet.
I did. Or are we doing that every day? I didn't know if we were going to change that with our new thing.
I just wanted a theme. I know you were like thinking about doing some history.
Yeah.
Like something happened this week, which, by the way, I do believe WrestleMania 10 was 30 years ago today.
Whoa.
And WrestleMania 10 is my favorite Mania.
What was the main event of that one?
That was Brett. And Bret Hart, Yokozuna, who was Samoan, but his gimmick was a sumo wrestler,
yep.
But pulled it off very well. He was huge, and Bret won. But it's not about the main event. It's about the first match of the night. Brett and Owen, Bret Hart and Owen Hart, put on a clinic. It was a work of art. It was the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. Wasn't anything fancy, very technical wrestling, but it's two perfectionists. Well, Brett is really, he's the excellence of execution. Owen didn't take life as seriously as Brett did. Brett was his gimmick was very important to him. But they also grew up together. They knew each other well, and it was damn near perfect.
I don't know if I've ever watched that match. Now I have to go back and I have to watch that one.
Well, and it was in Madison Square Garden. I was just in the Garden, a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, every time I go into that building, my first thoughts go to wrestling and the history that took place when WWE used to run that all the time. Boy, you're getting me down a rabbit hole right now. Anyway, WrestleMania 10, 30 years ago today, I have a WrestleMania poster of WrestleMania 10. I actually have one on display.
I'm pretty sure one of my favorite wrestling moments of all time was in Madison Square Garden, too. Cena's return on 08.
The Rumble.
Yeah, as a kid.
When he tore, what'd he do? He tore his pec, or it was a muscle injury. He tore something, and he was supposed to be out. Was it 8 months?
8 months to a year. They're like 8 months minimum.
And he returned in four? In 4 months?
Yeah. That was the best because we're like, no Cena at the Rumble. He's out injured at number 30.
You're young enough to be a mark for Cena.
Oh, I 100% was. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I still have
his. I couldn't stand him after a while.
I can understand that. I think that's the biggest thing about wrestling as you get older is you realize that the product doesn't always grow with you, and the stuff that you enjoyed as a kid was annoying your parents.
I was begging Vince to turn John Cena heel.
I would have loved to.
Do something different with him, please.
I agree.
This is Hogan. This is Hogan 1991. The gimmick was stale. Do something else.
I agree.
And Eric Bischoff took him 2 years, but turned him heel, and is one of the best decisions ever.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It would have broke my heart as a kid, but I think looking back on it now, I would enjoy it so much being able to watch it now.
Well, and it's crazy. Like today, the top gimmicks are typically the bad guys.
Yep,
they are the most popular guys, and it's maybe been like that for a while, but. You can only do so much with a good guy. That's eat your vitamins and say your prayers and do the right things in life. Who wants to cheer for that guy?
Dude, you guys,
the real American.
Okay, sorry.
It wasn't that. Listen, Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase versus Tito Santana, where they're in the mat and they're fighting, and then all of a sudden Ric Flair comes in, woo, and gets him, and then he hits him with a chair and they start bleeding. That was my favorite match.
Yeah, and Flair was mostly a heel.
Yeah.
When he was doing those promos and limousine riding, jet flying, and my alligator shoes cost more than your house, the famous lines. He was always a bad guy talking trash.
Yeah.
Those were the best.
Those are funny.
You know, I saw a video. Michael P.S. Hayes, known as just Michael Hayes, as like a backstage guy now, but he used to be in a group called the Freebirds, and they were rivals with the Von Erichs.
Mm-hmm.
You may have heard there's a movie now out called The Iron Claw, which was their old man's finisher. But the Von Erich story is extremely sad and tragic.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But now there's a biopic out about it. But there was video that just surfaced, and it's been kind of going around the wrestling community, of Michael P.S. Hayes, who was rivals with Von Erichs. This was back in the 80s and was trying to protect the business. And he was asked in an interview about David Von Erich was the one that passed away, and again, a very tragic thing, took his own life. And Michael P.S. Hayes was asked about that. And he really danced around it, like, listen, this is a very sad thing. I respect him, but we're always going to have issues with the Von Erichs. So even though it was like a real serious thing to talk about, he did not expose anything. He protected the rivalry and was like very generous about what he said, and but at the same time, was like, we don't like these guys.
Kayfabe.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it was back
all right
in the day.
This is the March Madness show of the game. We will not have a show the next 2 days, as we're just going to bring you wall-to-wall coverage of the NCAA tournament, nonstop action. Friday, the K-State women in action against Portland at 3:30, pregame at 3 o'clock. We will, of course, interrupt the men's NCAA tournament coverage for that. And by the way, coverage on K-Man presented by Booth Creek Wagyu. They are also bringing you the 2024 Bracket Challenge. You have until 11 a.m. tomorrow to get those brackets in. And I swear to you, if you have not signed up, I don't think you can beat me.
Ooh.
There's some out there that think they can.
Yeah.
And they've put money where their mouth is. If you haven't filled out a bracket yet, you should, because I don't think there is anybody out there that can beat me. And there's going to be a leaderboard.
Yeah.
And I promise you, I'm going to be at the top of that leaderboard. Troy's not going to be up there.
Whoa.
David G's not going to be up there.
Whoa. Watch out,
Jeff that lives on Yuma, or Sam that lives on Brockman.
Nope.
Or how about Theodore that lives up in Colbert Hills? Can't beat me. I don't care where you live, what your status is. If you're a sports fan or you're not a sports fan, I'm winning.
What about Paul that lives at Bottle Caps?
Well, you know.
That's funny.
That's really good.
That's a good inside joke. Maybe not a lot of people would get that.
Listen. You're gonna catch Paul on the draft key.
That's a good pop the boys right there.
That's a pop the boys for sure.
All right.
Wow.
I'll hear that one tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I did want to squeeze in some NCAA tournament predictions. This is kind of that part of the show where we give our thoughts on who could win, who may not make it too far. The first question out of the gate, guys, I want to ask everybody, does Samford beat KU
no.
in the first round? You don't think so?
No.
Remember, okay, well, keep in mind, Kevin McCullough is not playing. He is out.
I am aware of that. I don't see KU getting past the second round. I just don't see Samford getting it done against with Hunter Dickinson back. I just think from a size standpoint, that's going to give KU an edge.
I'm going Samford here. And I do somewhat agree with Troy. The issue is Hunter Dickinson likes to live behind the three-point line, and he ain't been hitting many of them this season. So I think that might come into a factor. And you know, like, if you're Samford and being confident in your program, what better way to kick off a tournament run than taking down a blue blood itself? I mean, how more motivated can you be going into the first round? I'm going Samford.
Well, the four seed has not been generous to KU in its history.
Mm-mm.
I like Samford because, one, yes, Kevin McCullough is out, but also Samford is a dynamite offensive scorer. And they are one of the best three-point shooters in the entire nation. They were 40% from three this year. 40% as a team. And they make 10 a game.
Jeez.
And KU is not deep. It's not like they're going to bring in, you know, like Nick Timberlake or whatever, and or, you know, whoever's on the team. I don't even remember who's all else is on the team. It's not a deep team. What do you think, Deej?
You know, he's going to have to – Hunter Dickinson will have to play the whole game for them to win. because when you take him and McCullough off this court, they are not any good. And I think it's funny, man. A team that's supposedly
they got crushed by Cincinnati.
I mean, they're supposedly stacking five stars, whatever. Anyway, yes, Samford's going to beat KU.
Do you guys think Nebraska will get their first ever tournament victory as they take on Texas A&M, which is hilarious, by the way? So
twice over.
Well, yeah, and the women. Well, and by the way, Trev Alberts just left Nebraska for Texas A&M.
That's
AD.
That's why it's even better. Someone made the comment. So who goes to collect the buyout on Thursday when Nebraska and A&M play?
Ooh. Does it say here where that game is? Let me look. No, in my bracket it does not say where that game is. I'd be interested to know. It's not in Omaha.
Let's see.
But what do you think, Troy? Does Nebraska get the win over Texas A&M? For me, this is a 50-50 game.
I believe that they do.
I think Nebraska.
Oh, they're in Memphis.
Oh, okay. We kind of meet in the middle then. See, Nebraska been such a good offensive scorer this year. The only issue with A&M is they cannot shoot the three to save their life. That's the big difference between these two teams. I think A&M's the better defending team.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. We laugh and stuff, but Nebraska is a good basketball team, and they spanked us. I think they get the win big time. They really were taking it to Illinois for a little during that game this weekend, but yeah, I expect Nebraska to get the win.
I hope Texas A&M wins. I love that piece of history for Nebraska.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Do you guys have any 12-over-5 upsets?
Let me just take a look here.
Oh, I'll tell you. You guys are going to look. I have two out of the four possibilities. I think two will happen. I like James Madison over Wisconsin. The other popular one is McNeese over Gonzaga. No, Gonzaga is, and it's because Gonzaga is so bad on defense.
Right.
They're a pretty bad defensive team. And McNeese, what they do so well is like what Samford does. They can really kill you with the three. And by the way, also, McNeese is pretty good defending it as well.
I do have JMU as well because they're good. I also got.
They're a great defense.
They are.
And defense wins championships.
I got Grand Canyon.
Grand Canyon's a popular one.
Taking down St. Mary's, they stink. I hate them.
St. Mary's going to come back up here in just a second. Do you guys have an extremely bold upset pick? Like, what do you think is your most bold upset pick? Mine, I'll go and give you mine. I have Colgate beating Baylor in the first round.
Ooh. Good for you.
I like Colgate to win that game.
Good for you. That's really great for you, buddy. I got Drake.
It's just a rough matchup for them.
I got Drake taking down Iowa State, man.
That's a solid call. That's
you have
a solid
Jacks
call.
Taking down the Clones?
Boom! The Clones. I love it. They can only stay hot for so long.
I would love that. I'd love for Otzelberger to lose to his old team.
I'm not dramatically bold with my picks on this bracket, but I do like Nevada over Dayton.
Ooh. That's a 10 over a 7.
But still, everybody's picking Dayton. Everybody's picking Dayton.
Yeah, I think if Dayton or James Madison loses in the first round, you're getting rid of like 90% of brackets.
Yeah.
If you guys had to pick a 16 over a 1, where would you go?
I have nothing to back this up. It's purely a gut feeling, and I don't even feel super confident about it. But Longwood over Houston, I don't know what it is. I keep looking at that game. And again, nothing about it makes sense, but it's just one of those feelings. I don't know what it is.
I don't know anything about Longwood.
I don't either. It just
been there.
There's a joke there, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know you haven't.
Been there.
Can't help it.
Been there, by the way. That was an interesting trip. I struggle with that one. I think Houston defensively is going to make them look very bad. That's a 13-loss Longwood team. I'm not real big on that one. The one I think that will be interesting is Stetson and UConn. I think that can be an interesting matchup.
I'm surprised by that.
I have to go Purdue. Purdue losing to either Montana State or Grambling, and it's based on history because over the last 3 years, I mean, Purdue, who's had a great seed the last 3 years, have been choke artists.
They have. Yeah. They have. I want to take that one because I feel like that's the glaring pick. I'm with Troy though. Stetson's good, and I think UConn, even though they're the overall number one and they've been beating the brakes off everybody this season, what if this one game they're not locked in? Stetson, I think they're they won 22 games or something. Like the other 16 seeds, It seems like they just went on a tear and won their tournaments, but Stetson's been good all season. They could do it.
Just for good measure, and I want to see Danny Hurley lose his mind.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
The last 3 years for Purdue, they lost to 16 seed Fairleigh Dickinson. 2 years ago, 15 seed St. Mary's. 3 years ago, 13 seed North Texas.
Yeah, that one was
horrible upsets the last 3 years. Yes.
Yeah.
All right, two questions left. Who's your final four? I'm not getting. Because, again, I'm going to win the bracket challenge at newsradiokma.com, uh-huh, so mm-hmm, I'm not going to give uh-huh, you my final mm-hmm, four. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to give you a Cinderella final four, and one of these are actually in my final four. So I'm going to give you one. I have Colorado State, St. Mary's, Boise State, and San Diego State. I think all four of those could be Cinderella final four runs. One of them are actually in my final four.
San Diego State is really – they're really good. They're really good at basketball. I think the rest of those are a joke. Are you kidding me? I go pretty – I get kind of for my final fours because I like to have a few active. I got UConn, Alabama, Houston, Tennessee.
UConn, Arizona, Houston, Tennessee.
Oof.
Owen?
UConn, Baylor, Houston, Gonzaga.
Hey!
It was a quick fill out for me.
Yeah,
so
No.
This is what it is.
Come on.
The last question is, how far do you have the K-State women going in the NCAA tournament?
I say Elite Eight.
Wow. So that's an upset over Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Unless Iowa loses to West Virginia, which I'm just saying, that'd be an interesting one to watch. Because West Virginia is a pest on defense. They force turnovers.
I don't think Iowa gets past West Virginia. I really don't think so. Watching them play K-State, dude, they were all over the court. They are really fun to watch, and like you said, a pest defensively.
They force 23 turnovers a game. That's an average.
Yeah.
I think it's 23.
I think the Cats catch fire, and I think they're going to the Final Four.
Boy, you're teasing me.
I think the Cats are going all the way, baby, because they're going to find that the road's going to open up. I don't know a thing about Colorado or –
But they're playing in the region of death.
They are not playing
in the region. LSU's in there. UCLA is in there. Dude, it's insane.
It's going to happen. The sky's going to open up. Something's going to happen. Angel Reese's brother is going to jump out of the stands again to try to beat somebody up, and they're going to get kicked out.
Trying to get after Jokic. He's going to realize he has no shot.
And listen, the Cats, they're going for
God forbid he goes after Gabby Gregory. She would tear him to pieces.
Boxed.
Quickly.
I've got That's a heartbreaking tremendous. Heartbreaking Sweet 16 loss.
Oh!
I have Sweet 16. The thing is, you think ESPN's going to allow Caitlin Clark to not get to the Final Four?
Nope.
If K-State played Iowa again, I could tell you right now, that would be the most frustrating game to watch when it comes to calls.
100%.
I can promise you that.
Should be getting all the calls, man.
We got to take a break. Hey, before we wrap up, we got to Ask Us Anything coming up. It's time to go give away the last pair today of K-State tickets for the NCAA tournament for Friday. If you want to go on Friday, they play at 3:30. If you want to go and you can use two tickets, give us a call right now. 785-537-1350. Again, the phone number, 785-537-1350. I'm taking caller number 3. Wrap up the game next.
$1,350K, man. Hey, today's alien abduction day.
Ooh. Oh, good grief.
Would you rather get abducted by aliens and nobody believe you, or get abducted by aliens and everybody totally believe you?
I'd go believe. Everybody believes. I think I can monetize that.
Yeah.
I mean, we're selling books. We're selling movies, you know, scripts. Yeah. Like, there's money to be made.
Yeah. How did Mitch predict the March Madness bracket? Oh, he's abducted by aliens.
That's aliens. They were like, your simple human game. Here you go.
Aliens. Oh, I drive my niece crazy with that one, given that she's into archaeology.
Ooh, so does she have any thoughts, any feelings on aliens?
Yeah, she hates that everything gets put on aliens.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, the Mayan ruins? That's totally aliens.
Aliens.
I would say, no, I don't want anybody to believe me.
The pyramids?
Aliens.
Give me a better explanation than aliens.
Yeah.
Give me one that has more evidence.
Yeah, Troy, give us the answer there. That's what we want.
Hey, listen, I'm not the archaeologist. I just tease the hell out of her.
Call her up.
Thing. I think pyramids,
get her
right?
on line one.
Pyramids, the one thing that, like, we still don't really have a clue exactly how they were made.
And why Isn't are they, it? Like, some of them, they have them like Machu Picchu, and then there's some in, like, China.
Oh, Machu Picchu. I'd love to go to Machu Picchu.
Me too.
I would also.
Guys, coming up next.
What?
We are like 30 seconds away from the first four right here on News Radio KMAN, presented by Booth Creek Wagyu. And guys, you still have like 18 hours to get your bracket submitted. NewsRadioKMAN.com for the Booth Creek Wagyu Bracket Challenge. I swear you can't beat me. But if you think you can, if you know you can, the only way to do that is by playing. And that's by going to NewsRadioKMAN.com. You could be winning cold hard cash. How about a big screen TV? That's going to do it for the game this week. For all the boys, go Cats.